Hello there, and welcome to episode 180 of the FlameFlash.net podcast. And here we are. How are you doing, bud?
Doing pretty good.
The Nail Fury arrives. It is February 15th. I will probably schedule this to go live tomorrow. It's been another busy week, hasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
I'm just trying to think. I know you were off of school yesterday, so you snuck in a good amount of Helldivers then, correct?
Yep.
And I know we snuck in like a game or two of Marvel Rivals throughout the week.
Yep.
And then the World of Warcraft Love is in the Air Festival is still going on. So we have been continuing to get nothing from that. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And let's see here. Is there anything else gaming-wise? I know...
Well,
oh, go ahead.
Overwatch.
Oh, did you step back into Overwatch for a little bit?
No, but I've been hearing a lot of good things from other people.
Oh, okay.
They're saying that Overwatch is making a comeback thanks to Marvel Rivals.
It's funny how beneficial competition in a marketplace is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Almost like there should be competition for people to actually get the best thing. Weird how that works.
Indeed, because I'm sure eventually Marvel Rivals will look at Overwatch and be like, okay, let's get our show on the road again.
Right. I mean, everything I'm hearing about Rivals is that for those that are playing it, it is a flashback to Overwatch of 2016. And as far as the fun level, the excitement level, and I think I can agree with that.
Yeah.
We have a 6v6 team. We don't have, like, locked-in role queues. So you can have a wild team of 6 DPS or 6 healers or 6 tanks if you really wanted to. It's not going to be balanced at all. Or what?
I just groaned at the... 6 DPS.
Yeah. It's not wise to do. You're going to get killed, especially if you're up against a balanced team, but you can do it.
Yeah.
And then somebody who had been playing a tank might flip to DPS or healer, and somebody who's been playing a DPS might flip to healer or tank. It's the Wild West of Marvel Rivals still, and as far as the roles go.
Yeah.
So let's see here. Otherwise, Civ 7 launched this last week, and I attempted to play with your brother and one of his friends. And then because they had it on the PS5 and I had it on PC, there was a version mismatch because PC gets patches faster.
Oh.
So we couldn't actually play because I had a higher version of the game than they did.
Lovely.
Quite annoying, too. So I haven't actually had a chance to dive into Civ 7 yet, even though it exists and I have it downloaded and ready to go. because my first experience was going to be in a multiplayer round, which is also weird to do. I'll probably fix that and try just a solo round eventually, but yeah. So Civ 7 is out. I know nothing except that it's out and that while cross is a thing, everybody has to be on the same version number. And PC is getting all of the bug fixes first. So, yeah. Oops.
Hey.
Just shows the superiority of PC gaming, I suppose.
Indeed.
And I say that with a smirk on my face for the audio listeners because I appreciate console gaming. There are exclusives on console gaming that you just can't get anywhere else. Mario. And there are experiences you can't get anywhere else either. So it is fun. It is. Console gaming is just as valid as PC, but PC does have some perks.
Honestly wish my Helldivers was on my Steam account.
Yeah, and that makes sense. But then you've sunk a lot of time into Helldivers, and you didn't have a good enough computer at the time when Helldivers launched. So hopefully the cross progression thing that they have said is in the works actually gets finished.
Indeed.
And then you can just carry everything over that you've purchased on the PlayStation to PC. Buy a PC version and you're back off to the races and don't have to negotiate with siblings when you want to play.
Yeah.
I can't really think of much else gaming wise, except that I am eager to continue to not get the low drop rate mount in the Valentine's Day event that's going on in World of Warcraft, and the fact that as a dad with a full-time job, single dad with a full-time job, I just haven't had the chance to play Civ 7 yet. I was going to last night because you went to bed early, and then, yeah, I fell asleep at my desk. I woke up at like 2 a.m. and I went to bed.
Nice.
So that was just big fail. Big fail. But your brother is enjoying Civ 7 a lot, from what I hear. And he's finally sold on the concept of the Civilization series, the turn-based strategy games, being an excellent baby holder game. Because
Yeah, not surprised.
there he is in his living room on his PS5, holding his little guy and holding a controller. And making progress in civilization. It
Little
works.
tiny baby.
Exactly.
I want to see that baby again sometime soon.
Oh yeah. I mean, they were over last weekend, so we'll need to try to plan for something soon.
Yeah.
Especially now that everybody in the household seems to finally be healthy again. Oh, thank goodness. Vomit and diarrhea everywhere, people. Ugh.
Oof.
Everyone was suffering. I wasn't, but everybody else was. And it was still bad. It was still unfortunate. Oh, we did watch Transformers 1 last night, just as a very brief overview. I thought it was fantastic. I think you did too, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So we'll leave it at that. We're going to try to do check with your brother and do some kind of a Transformers 1 special episode. Get your brother's friend on who is more obsessed with Transformers than me so we can really do a deep dive. But that's not today. It's threatened for the horizon, but it's not today.
Wait, more crazy about Transformers than you?
Yep. Well, you've seen.
I am scared.
You've seen his apartment. You've seen how many figures he has. Like, I just have Starscream sitting over here on a bookshelf that I purchased myself. And then I have a couple of Transformers up on the my display knickknack shelf here in the office, but I receive most of those as gifts, aside from the special edition Back to the Future one, where the DeLorean transforms into an Autobot.
Nice.
Wish I had found managed to get the Ecto-1 Ghostbusters car as well, but that was not in the cards for me. Oh, well.
Was it too expensive or out of stock?
It was out of stock. I hadn't known about it, like, when it released, and so by the time I found out about it existing, it was already out of print and way too expensive now.
Oof.
Yeah. But that being said, Keela wrote back with some 179 thoughts. Quite appreciated the title. Since last time was one was Keela, labeled Keela Ketchup. And we just wanted to comment on how, because we mentioned a little bit about North Korea in Russia, how these soldiers are barely, you know, they're barely old enough to be serving. They've never been outside their home country because nobody's allowed out. And then they're just shuffled off to die on the front lines. And it's heartbreaking, really, that they're willing.
Dear children, go to war.
And die. Because Russia doesn't care because they're not Russian citizens.
Yeah.
And sure, they're probably getting some on-the-field experience for those that survive their injuries, but it just shows how little regard of life North Korea feels towards its people.
Yeah.
And Keel also commented on the soda vice, because I know you want me to run you down to Casey's after this to buy some soda with your own money. Yeah, and there's snow everywhere on the ground right now. It's not thick. It's not a lot, but it's enough that you, of course, naturally don't want to trudge through it. And she just had a comment of, you know, caffeine and sugar really are things we should avoid, but they're one of the most gentle vices that we can have. So, you know, in the long scheme of things, especially with everything else going on, like 4 plane crashes in 2 weeks, it's okay. It's fine.
Yeah, and one of the reasons why I want to be driven is because it's cold. It's gotten so much colder because of my weight loss.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're just shivering under blankets in the living room during winter, and it's like, but you were fine. It's like, I'm wearing a house jacket. Like, yes, I am cheap, and I keep the house kind of cold. But there's also a thing called layering and wearing, you know, a few extra layers. It's just now you don't have any internal layers either. But like you said, you'll probably find the summer more pleasant too.
Yeah. Because honestly, if summertime is that much more cooler, that'll just be amazing.
Exactly. Like, you had a pretty good heat tolerance before, but I think you'll notice you'll just be flying through the water, and otherwise, your heat tolerance is even higher.
Yeah, and my cold tolerance is lower.
Well, yeah, but yeah. So, something else that Keela mentioned was, well, her team got stomped at the Super Bowl, so sorry about that, Chiefs.
Oof.
And the orange one, as he was leaving the Super Bowl, because for some reason he was at it, first sitting president to attend a Super Bowl. Like, why? Don't you have other things you're supposed to be doing? Anyway, he mentioned that he wants to end minting pennies for now. And I can see I can see the logic to it. You know, it co pennies are only worth 1 cent, and it costs 2 to 3 cents to mint every penny. So the
Yeah.
government does lose money on that prospect. However, the long-term ramifications or fallout, and yes, Keela, that is the name of a game series and an Amazon TV series, is going to be interesting because she pointed out that folks are going to start hoarding pennies as well. It's like, oh, if they're not going to exist anymore, then I want a small collection of them. So that removes them from the circulation. Then you just
And they'd probably be hoarding them because they'll probably be worth so much more later on.
Oh yeah, but this is like long term later on. My generation has the same problem with like Beanie Babies. The expectation was they would eventually become rare, they would become and therefore valuable, except everybody was buying Beanie Babies. So no, they didn't become rare and valuable at all, except for the limited run Beanie Babies that were rare and valuable when they were first made.
Yeah.
But not only that, we also have the long-term ramifications, though, of okay, what happens when we're paying with cash? Are things going to start going in only 5 cent increments? What about taxes, which always does that weird percentage adjustment on things? So a business that is charging you $2.24 for a soda, okay, well, do you and you plop down $2.25? Now there's a penny shortage. So are you out the penny as the customer and then angry because the business just couldn't get enough pennies? Or do they eat that 4 cents and suddenly they give you back a nickel because now they have to round down? And now they're out that 4 cents, and oh, look. They're going to have to probably adjust their price so that taxes bring it up to an even number. So it's this short, it's like everything else the orange one loves to do. Short-term gain creates a longer-term problem that turns into either something that he will swoop in and say he's fixing in his final year of the his term, or it's just a problem left over for the next president to deal with and be like, oh, well, I'm going to restart making pennies. Like, okay, cool. But that's going to take time to ramp up and get them back into circulation. So it's just one of those interesting bits of fallout from a decision that's spoken off the cuff and without any planning, without any weighing of the costs or benefits of a decision. But that's kind of his MO, is speaking out of turn, and then maybe it's a good idea and maybe it's a bad idea, or maybe it's a good idea in the short term but it's a bad idea in the long term, or maybe it's just a bad idea, period. You know, I just, yeah. She raised some good points there, though.
Yeah.
Like, if I do take you down the street You'll get a penny back. Because soda's $2.24 right now.
Cool.
But you know, the fountain drinks. But if there is already a penny shortage, oops. What are they going to do? Are you out the penny or are they out the 4 cents? And depending on the business, that'll kind of depend on what happens too. Like, I could see Walmart going full jerk and being like, oh, well, we're out of pennies and we can't make change. So you're going to have to either be okay with missing out on these 4 cents or you need to pay another way. Even though they're a big corporation that could easily eat it, unlike a mom and pop place. Meanwhile, the mom and pop places are the ones that will eat it. Ugh. She also mentioned, which we've been seeing in news reports too, how federal workers are being demanded to be loyal to the orange one. Now, before, federal workers are always demanded to be loyal to the Constitution, not to any one president, not to any one senator, not to any one person at all. You are loyal to the laws of the and the Constitution, not to any one person. So just another one of those disturbing top-down things that shows the mark of the man in power right now. You have to be loyal to him, not to your country. He has put himself above the country.
Yeah.
And that kind of leans also into a sort of funny thing that they're pushing to end remote workers and remote employees basically everywhere, except these folks are simply being recategorized as mobile employees. They're doing the same thing. They're still remote, but now they're quote unquote mobile. Dude. Well, it's just the same thing. Remote, mobile, it's the same thing. But he wants credit for solving a problem that wasn't really a problem. But, yeah, it's just kind of gross. But thank you, Keila, for listening and for sending in your comments. Is there any news or TikToks that you have seen, Bud, recently that you're wanting to talk about?
Supposedly, they are really trying to push the third term for Trump.
Oh, who's pushing that? I guess I haven't seen much about it.
The administration, I'm pretty sure, are trying very hard to push for it.
Oh, well, that'll require a constitutional amendment. And they definitely don't have the votes for a constitutional amendment yet. So I'm not overly worried.
Yeah.
Something would have to be really, something really, really weird would have to happen for a constitutional amendment to get through like that. I mean, it's certainly possible, so we need to stay vigilant and watch for it, but I also don't really expect it. I'm not worried about it right now.
Yeah.
Anything else you've been seeing?
More people raging about abortion.
What about it in particular? Just that it exists?
Just the Republicans saying it's murder.
Oh. Well, they also think that everyone is now female, so I'm not sure how much we can trust their understanding of science.
Yeah, because another reason why I brought it up is because I kind of want to talk about the paper I wrote a little bit.
Good segue planning. All right.
So I don't have it currently, but I remember you telling me which parts were strongest and which ones were weakest. And the strongest point, I think, was one of them was is that an unprepared, a mentally unprepared mother who is forced to give birth has a much higher chance to accidentally kill the child because of hormones.
The postpartum depression. Yes. Yeah.
I feel like that's the main theme that most Republicans don't get.
That's because they don't care about mental health at all, and it's because they don't understand mental health. They're these, for the most part, privileged white guys that things have been going smoothly. Oh yeah. Oh no. My investments didn't turn out how I wanted them to. I'm sad now. No, you're still fine. You're still fine, buddy. They haven't seen true hardship, or when they claim to have, they've benefited from the exact same programs that they are now trying to gut because they don't want anyone else to rise up the same way they did and be able to challenge them.
Yeah,
And
because
go ahead.
something else about it is there's so much hypocrisy in that because they're talking about they don't want to murder the child, but they just don't give a crap about postpartum depression and are like, oh, that's not murder.
Well, I think my th
I'm not saying it is, but
I think my favorite argument about how hypocritical they are is that it is clearly not about the lives of the unborn at all. It is about control. Because if it was truly about protecting children, they would be helping children at all stages of life, not just the stage of life where they are inside the mother.
yeah.
We would have more educational programs. We would have more food programs for poor kids. We would have so many more programs for kids, if the true goal was to help kids.
Yeah.
So, therefore, any claim that it's just about the children, just about the unborn, is false. It's a matter of trying to turn a woman into a piece of property again.
Yep.
And
And what were you gonna say?
That's just not okay. I mean, that's the Make America Great Again that they're thinking of,
Yeah.
where they have all the power, where they have all of the rights, where those that have gained rights lose them.
Yeah. Another part of my paper, I'm about to bring up the weakest point. Still a good point, just the way I wrote it was weak. There are some cases where the mother and the child are in danger, so it has to be chosen which one by the father, usually.
So you're talking about in an emergency situation where the mother is unconscious and the lives are at risk of both. The next of kin, who happens to be the father, is the one forced to make the decision, right? Like a car accident where he's survived. But the pregnant wife is in more critical condition.
And unfortunately, that's a almost impossible choice to make. Because if I was ever in that situation, I don't know if I could choose, especially with such limited time.
And it's completely so in parenting, and while your mother and I were together, we had this plan, an agreement, an understanding already. Post-birth, it's the house fire paradox. If the one parent is physically capable, the other is trapped or hurt or unconscious or whatever. Who do you get out of the house? And you get the children out. If there's time, you go back in for the spouse, but you get the children out first. And that was the understanding, that was the agreement. There would be no hard feelings. That's what we had both wanted. But in that scenario that you wrote about in your persuasive piece, it's the exact opposite. Because, I mean, let's face it, most pregnancies, the majority, statistically speaking, are wanted. And that scenario that you're talking about is another wanted pregnancy. But the emergency situation is such that only one will survive. And logically speaking, assuming we're, past term, like there's so many variables, but let's assume we're late term, we're near the due date, so the child could survive outside of the womb. Which way do you go? And that's a completely different philosophical paradox that hopefully the doctors are able to give even more details of the hypothetical when it's a real situation and go, okay, well, we can do this, this, and this, and the child has a 95% survival rate, or we do this, this, and this, and the mother has a 80% survival rate. Well, then then the statistics are on your side to go, okay, well, saving the child is the greater chance of somebody surviving, or vice versa, if they're able to tell. But that assumes that the when it's a real problem, they have all of that data, and if it's an emergency situation, they probably don't.
And they still need to make a quick choice, otherwise they both go.
Psychologically, I would choose the child. because given it's a wanted pregnancy, that's what the mom would have wanted, would be for the child to survive. Because the mother would have laid her life down to save the child anyway. And so it would be a out of respect for spouse decision.
Yeah. And
boy, things are going to be hard psychologically, because every time you look at that baby, you're going to miss the, you're going to remember the hard choice you made. But you're also going to remember the hard choice you made and that they're there, and you're going to work harder and you're going to be there for them and do everything you need to for them to honor the mother that was lost.
And unfortunately, in other cases, there could be accidental negligence or purposeful.
Well, because that's going into the realm of a forced birth. Because for whatever reason, an abortion was actually desired. And that's a very, very small percentage, exceptionally. Yeah. But then then we're talking about, like, their conception was probably related to a crime against the mother.
Yeah.
And I'm staying away from, you know, the explicit terms for triggering purposes or lack thereof, but yeah, that's,
well, I mean, even if the child was wanted, I can still see some cases where probably very few, but still some cases where the father is mad at the child for the death.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It would be a psychological battle every day for that parent to make sure they didn't succumb to something like that.
Yeah.
But it would be possible to. You know, we're discussing these hypotheticals, and we're discussing your persuasive piece paper, which I think was very strong, and I'm amused that it ticked off one of your teachers, because they are clearly on the far right. While fortunately the teacher you turned it into really appreciated it. But
yeah. And that teacher asked me to have someone I trust most to grade it. And she mentioned it could be someone in school. And I was like, eh.
Yeah.
And she understood that quite well.
Yeah. We are in a very red district. We may be in Minnesota, but we are in a very red district.
Yeah.
But we, as we discuss all of this, we do have to appreciate we're white presenting dudes. Like, I'm a third Native American, but we're still white presenting dudes.
Yeah.
For the most part. So yeah. I'm sure ladies are going to have other thoughts on it. And my stance has always been, I don't have a literal horse in the race, so I am going to respect those that do. And the best way I can show respect is by insisting that each of them is allowed to make the decision for themselves.
Yeah.
And what the Republican side of the aisle attempts to do is remove choice, even though they're the Freedom Party, which it just makes no sense to me. But that's all it is.
Yeah. What were some other points I brought up in the paper?
I'm trying to remember too, and I'm having a hard time because this was a few weeks ago that you wrote that. So we've slept since then. A bunch of other stuff has been going on, both, you know, well, in various places. So yeah, I'm struggling to recall more.
Oh, one of the points I just remembered. Protection doesn't always work.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so statistically speaking, it could have been an unplanned, unwanted, just from the get-go. And they did everything correctly to prevent it, yet the pregnancy still happened.
Yeah, and so that should give them the right to an abortion.
I saw a TikTok that summarized it with, it is more difficult to order a pizza than to have a kid. And his point was that no one ever accidentally ordered a pizza. You have to purposefully place the order in the app or make the phone call or walk in, and then so you don't open the door and suddenly there's a pizza there unexpectedly.
I mean, it would be nice, but
meanwhile, kids can happen unexpectedly. And that's not to say that an unexpected is unwelcome. It's just unexpected.
As my big brother and his fiance did it and was like, we either have a baby or we don't. Is that the point you're making?
Well, I mean, there are couples that just don't prevent it either. And that's what they were doing at that point, is not preventing. So they weren't actively trying, but they weren't actively preventing either. So that's the difference there. But yet again, in that same scenario, you have to actively order the pizza. There is no possibility that still the pizza is going to just happen.
Yeah.
And that was that comedian's point.
Nice. Because, I lost my train of thought. Were you going to say anything more?
I think we've shown our tendency toward being heavily pro-choice without saying it outright and summarizing it as such. So, I mean, now I just did, but... Is there anything else on your mind?
Not that I can think of.
Okay. Well, why don't I process this, and then we can maybe go be disappointed in World of Warcraft when we don't get that mount.
Okay. Could I get that soda first?
We'll probably drive down the street then, yeah. So, if anybody would like to comment, you have the flameflash.net blog, you have the flameflashpodcast.wordpress, you have the YouTube video, or you can write in to podcast@flameflash.net. And it's just podcast@flameflash.net. I should clarify that. So appreciate everybody listening. And thank you, Keela, for your comments. And hopefully we continue to do our best to survive the onslaught of weird news. The Treasury Department is still not letting poor Elon have access to things. I saw that little headline pop up. So good on them. Good on them.
Yeah.
Oh, and then tariffs. But prices are already high. They're going to get higher before this is all over.
Lovely.
Yeah. But with that all being said, this was episode 180 of the FlameFlash.net podcast. Thank you for stopping by.
Live with honor.
Indeed.